Musically meditated.
Welcome to Musically Meditated Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Riley. This is episode 37, aka, what is it, Juice?
Joey Only,
and what's your nickname tonight?
Glenn Jusick,
and why is that?
Because today is a very special celebratory episode of Musically Meditated, celebrating the life and times and birthday of one Glenn Danzig.
Happy birthday, Glenn Danzig, and guess what? It's a full moon tonight.
Fuck yeah.
It's June 26th, and it's a full moon. July 26th.
Hey, how was that bumpy ride on those pack of wolves?
It was rough.
For those of you listening, we rode a pack of wolves in this motherfucker.
White wolves.
Yeah.
And black wolves.
Fuck yeah.
That's right. But right quick, Justin Wallace, please plug away your podcast.
Justin the Juice Wallace, host of Juice Pro Wrestling on the Green Door Network and available on all podcast platforms and YouTube. And you can also join the group on Facebook, Juice Pro Wrestling Universe, a.k.a. the JP Woo.
The JP Woo. Yeah, people get on there, start sharing your favorite wrestling moments, YouTube clips, whatever, correct?
Glenn Danzig, also a huge wrestling fan.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. His favorite wrestler's the Blue Demon.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He
likes them luchadors.
That's right. Let me do a little shameless self-plug myself.
Get it.
Musically Meditated is available on all podcast platforms. We recently just got accepted on Spotify. It's a big deal to us. So please,
that's right.
Yeah, please check us out on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, all that jazz. iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
I also have the Musically Meditated listener group page.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing well. Juice, you share a lot.
Oh, I share a lot. I love those Metal Mondays.
The Metal Mondays. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of interaction this last Monday, but it's all right. Just don't be shy, people, because when I talk to a lot of people that I know, they're like, oh, I just don't know if what I have to put up there is good enough. It doesn't matter.
It's all good enough. It's all important because it's your opinion, and that's what we're looking for. That's what Joe wants.
You know? This is all subjective. It's
diversity.
It's a music discovery podcast, so. You know, please join us on that and
reach out and discover.
Yeah, reach out and discover the
Get
ways.
Get rewards.
The ways. But let's move on to Danzig. All right. Glenn Danzig was born June 23rd, 1955. He is a songwriter and musician from Lodi, New Jersey.
Yeah, or he Lodi.
Is that however you say it? He is the founder of the bands, Misfits, Samhain, and Danzig.
He owns
the Evil Live record label, and as well as the, how do you say it, Verotic,
and also Plan 9 was his record label as well.
Okay, but the Verotic thing's an adult-oriented comic book publishing company.
Yeah, no superheroes there, just all very dark, sexual, evil shit.
A little BDSM going on in Danzig's life and in his comics.
A lot of them. Yeah. Isn't it?
That's why he wears that black sequence, that whole thing right now, I've been noticing, his live shit.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that was
the Jeff Hardy shirt?
Yeah. Or the 1980s football practice cutoff.
Just all black, though.
Dude, we should wear those this summer.
We should. Let's get murdered out with those.
Let's get murdered out all black.
And
right?
We'll do a little Henry and Glenn tribute. We'll wear that and then the Rollins shorts.
The Rollins champion dad shorts?
That's right.
I'll be Rollins, you could be Danzig.
All right.
That's what we'll do this summer. Perfect, perfect. Yeah, Elise likes that. Yeah, shout out to Elise. She's here recording some great video footage that will be up somewhere. Probably
somewhere in space and time.
Right, right. He began in the mid-70s. He was going through a lot of different genres, including punk, heavy metal, industrial blues, classical music. He's also actually written songs for other musicians, most notably Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison.
Fuck yeah. And
that's
both of those tracks. 13 was the one he wrote for Johnny Cash. And Roy Orbison, what was that song name? God damn it. You guys are going to stump me right now.
It's all right. We can get back to that. You can look it up. As a singer, he's noted for his baritone voice and his tenor vocal range. His style has been compared to those of Elvis Presley,
Jim Morrison,
and the Howlin' Wolf.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Blues legend, Howlin' Wolf.
Blues legend. That's why they call him Evil Elvis, right?
Yeah.
He's also cited to do a Bill medley as his huge vocal influence. So shout out to Big Bill. Moving on to his early childhood music influences, He began listening to heavy music at an early age, and he started with Black Sabbath, of course. Right?
As we all pretty much did.
Every kid, every heavy metal head. Blue Cheer, shout out to Blue Cheer, because they're kind of forgotten about.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, Blue Cheer?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're a big, big influence on doom metal, just like Sabbath.
Yep.
And then The Doors, obviously. Cause
gotta love him.
He sounds a lot like Morrison.
Yeah, I think he's got that eerie, poetic vibe going on, like Jim did, you know?
And that comeback, you know, come back.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's total Morrison.
Or like In the Doorway.
Yeah, In the Doorway.
Yeah.
For sure. So you could hear nothing but Elvis and Morrison, but not to take anything away from him.
Yeah, he took an eclectic mix of influences and made it his own, and he's stamped his place in musical history, in my opinion.
All right, well, let's transition into some of our personal stories, childhood stories of Danzig, like our first time, and I guess I'll start with it. I remember the Mother video when I was a kid, and it had a huge impact on my life, and my mom at the time would only buy me cassette singles, and I remember she went to like Coconut Music or something in the mall.
Remember that? Or Tape World?
You know what? I think it was Tape World. She went to Tape World, and I'll never forget, she got me the cassette for Mother by Danzig, Dre Day by Dr. Dre, and then Real Compton City G's by Easy.
Oh, the edited version.
The edited, but then it had the dirty version on the back. I just didn't tell her.
Nice.
Because back then they used to put those little small parental advisory things like at the very bottom corner. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the cassette single slip cover. Good times, good times. But that video, like, I just loved the Mother video. Like, who is this dude? He was just ripped.
Yeah. He had like he looked like Wolverine, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I had the sideburns going. He was ripped. He was fucking, he had that attitude, and yeah, it was great.
Do you remember the rumor back then that he beat up Snoop and Dr. Dre?
Oh, yeah, I
and,
do
like,
remember
when
something
we were
about
kids,
that.
And like someone's like, yeah, Snoop pulled out his gun and Danzig beat up both of them.
Yeah, he Bruce Lee'd it fucking
Bruce
away from
it. He Bruce Lee'd it, but yeah, that's some of my childhood memories. Obviously, Metallica and how Cliff Burton repped him. We'll get into that a little bit more in depth later on, but you know, without Metallica, I don't think anybody would know who the Misfits were.
Right.
But Misfits-wise, when I was that young, I didn't really know shit about the Misfits. I really didn't, but I definitely knew about Danzig. So, Wallace, what was some of your first experiences as a child?
Yeah, funny. I mean, you should say that. I mean, everybody, the Misfits now, I mean, that logo, the insignia, the Crimson Ghost, which they took from the movie The Crimson Ghost,
yeah.
So iconic. And it's probably got to be one of the most tattooed tattoos on anybody in the world. Yeah,
guy.
That, and I would say maybe the Black Flag bars,
Black Flag bars.
As far as punk rock goes, I mean, how smart of them guys, like ingenious marketing, because that fucking shit will live forever long after we're all gone. And I mean, you see people today like Justin Bieber and Rihanna and shit sporting Misfits shirts, like it's
flag.
That's how huge it's got. I mean, it's become a fashion sense, more than a ideal or attitude, but I, like you said, the Misfits, I think when I was younger, I might have heard a song or two, like maybe I think Where Eagles Dare and Hybrid Moments, but I didn't really recognize them. I definitely got into Danzig first.
Yeah, so what was some of your early childhood Danzig experience?
Well, early MTV shit, like the Mother video, I was around for that. Watched a lot of Beavis. I remember Beavis and Butthead when they were watching like How the Gods Kill and stuff. Like, it was all like slow, and he's like, ugh, ugh.
Yeah, he's ripping on him. Like, remember, like he would do his quiet part.
Yeah, this sucks.
And then, like, when it would get loud, like,
yeah, check it out, yes.
Like, oh, damn it, this sucks. Yeah,
yeah.
I really, like, it goes
yeah.
again.
So I remember that and the Mother video, and I believe, well, I don't believe, but I know the first Danzig album I ever got was actually from your old man. Shout out to Big Joe Riley.
What up, Dad?
Thrall Demon Sweat Live, live EP, and that was pretty much my first foray into Danzig, and then it was just my fate was sealed after that. And of course got into the Misfits and found out how catchy and beautiful and dark and eerie that music was, and the attitude. I mean, it was punk, but it was horror. So like, in a way, to me, I'm like, the content was like metal, but the music was punk as fuck.
When my dad got you that CD, was it a CD? Like, what grade were we in?
Yeah, that was a CD. I think that was like, man, sixth or seventh grade.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a long time ago. And that had, I remember it had bonus content, like the hidden tracks some CDs used to have, like Nirvana's Nevermind, and there's some other discs we won't talk about. But
go ahead. Tell them. Go ahead. Come out that closet.
No, never, never. They can never know. But it had the Mother, because there was Mother 93 on there. Like, he, like, remixed it and shit.
That's the one I knew.
Yeah. Like, and then, like, if you wait till the end, it's, like, I think, what is it, like, 6 minutes and 66 seconds or something after the last track, there's another version of Mother on there. And, you know, it's pretty badass, pretty rock and roll. But yeah, it's a good album, good live album, too. A nice little EP. And
doesn't he cover Elvis on there?
Is that, yeah.
Looking for Trouble?
Trouble, yeah.
Yeah, that's an Elvis track.
You're looking for trouble? You came to the right.
Dude, I have that CD at my house. It's probably yours from back then.
It probably is.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know.
I like that back sometime.
25 years ago or whatever.
I got to get that shit on vinyl. I think they just put it out on vinyl.
Like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is that CD.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Where's my autographed B.B. King CD?
I don't know. I plead the fifth.
It's in the vaults, the musically meditated vaults.
Oh, shit. All right, but let's transition to into the Misfits era.
Great.
You know, I know they started in the mid-70s. You know, they had the whole theme with Marilyn Monroe and all those old horror flicks, and the main movie was Social Misfit, right? Or The Misfits.
The Misfits.
Yeah, it was The Misfits.
That, which I believe, I think that was Marilyn Monroe's last movie. I might be wrong. You guys can...
Yeah,
but I think I'm
you
right.
You dorks can Google that, and then you can send us some more hate mail, because we're getting a lot of it.
We love it.
We love it.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. As far as Misfits albums go, it's kind of hard to pick your favorite, because there were so many 7-inches and EPs, but what's your go-to?
And here's the thing, as far as actual albums, when they were a band still, I mean, they put out a lot of 7-inches and shit, but I think when they were actually still a working, touring band, the only album they put out was Walk Among Us. And then after that, I believe, it was supposed to be Static Age, which never saw the light of day until, like, I believe, like, the early 90s, like, on Caroline Records or something like that. And, like, that, like, to hear it nowadays or even when it first came out, it's just mind-blowing, because you had songs like Hybrid Moments and In the Doorway and Spinal Remains. And
that's my favorite. That's the only one I own on wax.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now. And, I mean, I want to own all of it on wax,
right. But Glenn always released shit, you know, like Collection 1 and 2, you know, different versions.
Oh, those are all great.
Yeah. Well, and then I let me backtrack a little bit, because it was Walk Among Us and then Earth AD, which...
That's my favorite.
Earth AD is probably, yeah, I mean, I would have to say it's my favorite. It's really hard to pick, like you said, but that's just super raw and thrashy. And
crossover is like that metal crossover punk shit. Like,
it's
that was
ripped
huge.
Up like shredded wheat, man.
Yeah, because like with that album, and especially Minor Threat, there was that good crossover of like hardcore punk thrash with metal. And a lot of that kind, a lot of the like those particular albums, like Minor Threat's early shit, and this one I'm drawing a blank right now, Earth AD, you know, they influenced like Slayer.
Yeah.
And early Metallica thrash shit.
And now you got Dave Lombardo playing that shit with Misfits, which is kind of, it's cool.
It's so cool. It's so cool. But yeah, for me, Static Age, all day.
Yeah.
And then Earth AD, you know, it's a tie between those two. Yeah. Actually, Elise, that's here. Remember one time we went to S&J Records, and like I was picking out different records, and Earth AD was there. And you're like, get that.
Was
like,
it the OG or just a reprint?
No, it was a reprint or repress. And she's like, get that one. I'm like, oh, but I want to get this. I don't know what I picked instead, but...
Probably some shitty.
Bummer. Yeah, yeah, she never looked at me the same that day. We didn't talk. We didn't talk for a while.
Well, Walk Among Us, dude. I mean, like I said, that's hard to pick those out of those albums, like, your favorite. I mean, it really is.
I don't like Walk Among Us because he, like, Yeah, it's okay. Because he re-recorded over it. Like, he re-recorded over those tracks or something weird, didn't he? Like, the production just sounds like,
where's Brad Vanderzee when you need him, you know? Shout out to Brad Vanderzee, like, the all-knowing.
Yeah, but there was something, like, he went over it and reproduced it, and I don't know. Like,
who knows what Glenn... I just think there's a lot of classic Misfit songs that are, like, for me, 20 Eyes. Dude, Nike A Go-Go is probably my top five favorite Misfit songs.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, for sure. Well... Anything else you want to share about the Misfits era of Glenn Danzig's life?
It was the beginning of something special, and it was I am absolutely enthralled with the fucking Misfits, and I have been ever since I found out about them many, many moons ago. So.
Yeah, I started getting into them a lot about 12 to 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and what really got me into them was Venetian Snares, an electronic artist that I liked.
Really?
He covered She.
Okay.
And it's just him singing, and he never sang because all of his stuff's electronic music.
Right.
And then he's playing piano to it. Well, Mike Shirelli, shout out to Shirelli, I didn't realize like he was a huge Misfits fan, and he had that mm-hmm. box set that came in a coffin, and he had all of it,
yeah.
and he just gave it all to me.
And that version of She's All In where it's just like bass and piano,
piano,
right?
Piano, yeah. Yeah, it's great. And ever since then, like I've just been
and I.
We painted that huge mural, you know, the Crimson Skull in my parents' yeah. basement. And
that's awesome. We, you know, we should throw that picture up.
We will. We yeah. will. That picture will definitely be tossed up, and we'll be flexing.
Yeah, we'll so you be could just flexing and flossing.
So all you ladies could just slide right into our DMs.
Yeah,
boom,
slide in
a nice, moist, slitherly slide.
A slathered plather.
A slathered plather. All right,
welcome.
Now let's transition to the Samhain era.
Oh yeah,
this is when he started to get the attention of Rick Rubin from the Deaf American label. That was in 1986. And this is crazy, too, and it was on the advice of Metallica bassist Cliff Burton.
Nice.
Danzig has also credited Burton and Metallica and Hetfield, frontman, for helping raise awareness to his music.
Yep.
Quote, unquote, he says, I first met them at a Black Flag gig.
Fuck yeah.
And then we became kind of friends. We'd often bump into one another on the road. James and Cliff helped to spread the word about me, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah, for sure. Metallica did, I mean... Danzig owes a lot to Metallica, really, and no disrespect to Glenn, because his music was great, but it wasn't finding that major audience until a band like Metallica, who is probably going to go down even more so as, I hate to admit this, but more, probably the biggest metal band ever, even over Sabbath. I mean, it just if you want to look at record numbers and popularity and all that shit, but yeah, he owes a lot to them.
Everything.
Yeah.
Especially Cliff Burton, rest
oh, yeah.
in peace.
Cliff,
too.
I saw, what was it? Glenn played, it was like a Revolver Golden Gods Awards a couple years ago. And they had Papa Emeritus, or Emeritus, sorry about that, from
Overrated.
Ghost at the time. Yeah, right? New album sucks. introduced Danzig. He's like the originator of evil.
Yeah.
Danzig. And Glenn told a story about how Cliff would call him at night. Late at night, wanting to know the lyrics, you know, to songs. I think it was Some Kind of Love. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong, but
music nerds Google that.
Yeah,
I thought that was a cool story. There's a lot of not backtracking, but there's a lot of cool, awesome bands that you know first met or were hanging out at Black Flag gigs. Mm-hmm. One notable one, right? Wasn't that Chris Novoselic and Kurt Cobain?
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, remember?
I think so.
Their first show together was Black Flag.
Yeah.
In Seattle.
I wish I was fucking there.
Me too.
I would have lost my shit, dude.
Could you just imagine seeing Black Flag back then?
I couldn't. I would have been hurt or hurt someone in the hospital. It's just I would have lost my mind.
Me too.
I fucking love Black Flag.
I love Black Flag. Shout out to Black Flag. We love you forever and
but,
ever.
Going back to Samhain era though, for me, Samhain was cool because it's, and for a lot of like the goth kids and like you're a big Morrissey fan and stuff,
yeah.
And I would kind of like to even say maybe, I don't want to say shoegaze, but that was really early. Like that's when Glenn started to kind of blend the punk with the goth and like kind of occult type themes, you know, and got really like
yeah, maybe like early Cure,
yeah,
dark
and
shit.
Some like throwing like some chamber and like horror music like over stuff where it sounds like you're listening to a horror movie soundtrack,
yeah.
And it's got, yeah, almost like a Cure vibe to it, but yeah. just darker.
Yeah, like the like pornography Cure vibe.
Right.
Or 17 Seconds, that early.
Right.
That early.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Initium, fucking great album.
It is.
That's probably my favorite, but November Coming Dire. No, November Coming Fire, another great one. Samhain, they're very... I don't want to say underappreciated, but I think between Danzig and the Misfits, I kind of sometimes feel like a lot of fans like Samhain gets kind of put under, you know, beneath both of those, where I feel they're all even keel for me. You
yeah,
know?
It just, I always remember the production of Samhain sucked.
It did, but if you look at it, like I said, it gives you that old, like, 80s horror goth vibe that kind of stands the test of time, you know?
It was just Danzig, like, taking that leap. Like, I'm done right. with Misfits. I'm doing me.
Even though he did redo a couple of Misfits. There was Halloween, too.
I like the Halloween, yeah. too. It's
there
dope.
Was, what else was there? Horror Hotel.
Horror Hotel, yeah.
Yeah. There was another
something
one.
Else. Yeah, there's something else.
I can't remember.
But the production was a little rough. Remember, like, he did drums with the keyboard on one album, too, didn't he? That was all him playing the drums with the keyboard drums.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit like that. But without that, obviously, he wouldn't have been discovered by Rick Rubin. So now we're going to transition.
I want to correct myself real quick. It wasn't Horror Hotel. It was Horror Biz.
It was Horror Biz.
It wasn't Horror Business. It was Horror Biz. You know, it's like, yeah. Psycho Idiot!
Yeah.
12 o'clock, don't be late.
But, yeah. But going back. Now we're going to transition into the Danzig solo era.
Oh, yeah. Shit's about to get real.
Get real. So in 1988, a newly formed band, Danzig, released their first album. It showed a progression from the gothic death rock sound of Samhain to a slower, heavier, more blues-based heavy metal sound.
For sure. Very blues-influenced. And, I love that
and
shit,
that,
dude.
That album, I mean, the videos, they're just total Danzig, him and his black leather and... Yeah. Hot chicks, you
hot
know.
Chicks everywhere, shirtless, looking like Wolverine.
Yeah, just what's your favorite track? I mean, I love the whole album.
Oh, it's, man, that first album, it's really hard to pick. Soul on Fire is fucking great. You know, everybody wants to go to Twisted Cane and
Twist
all that.
Twisted Cane,
it's good.
That's always being played at Deja Vu right down the road. At
is
the,
it? Yeah. I mean, I would go to the Vu song. Just to hear that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
not so much.
not so much. But yeah, Danzig self-titled is a classic.
Yeah, it is. That's a pinnacle album that, like, for you guys listening to the show, if no one's ever listened or you've only heard the Misfits or only heard Samhain or one of the two and not checked out Danzig solo, which it's hard to believe anybody hasn't.
You should be punched in the face.
Yeah, right in the fucking face.
Run the jewels.
Great album. And you know what I love about that album is the production is so fucking killer on that. When you crank that shit riding around your car. And, dude, shout out to fucking Chuck Biscuits, dude.
Yeah, Chuck Biscuits.
God damn, man. The fucking... And that whole band, John Christ.
John Christ. He was Erie on drums, Vaughn, right? Wasn't Christ...
No, Chuck Biscuits was the drummer.
That's right. All right.
John Christ was a guitar player, and Erie Vaughn was a bass player.
Because Erie Vaughn was in Samhain, too, wasn't he?
Right.
And then he was originally the main photographer for the Misfits, too, I believe.
Yeah, he's in. Right? You guys can Google and check it out. He has a book that he came out with. He used to photograph back when they played in Samhain and shit. I mean, I'm talking even like Sabbath in the 80s, fucking Soundgarden back then. He's got all kinds of killer photos collected in this book, and it's really good. Really interesting read and visual stimulation.
I've thumbed through it a few times.
Yeah.
Now I'll transition into the 1990 sophomore effort, Danzig 2, Lucifuge.
You mean Juicifuge?
Juicifuge. there was a change here in the musical direction. This album had an overall more bluesier tone.
Yeah.
Milder approach.
I think it's the best sophomore album ever.
Yeah. That's a bold statement.
It is.
And this, you know, with those sounds, it was a departure from Danzig, like, earlier shit, and it was featuring, like, more of a 50s-style ballad. You know, you had Blood and Tears.
It's more earthy.
Yeah. And the acoustic blues, I Am the One.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That is such a great song.
I was born in the dirt.
I get, going back to his early influences, like, when he was listening to, whatchamacallit?
Howlin' Wolf.
Roy Orbison. I hear a lot of Roy Orbison in this.
Oh, yeah. That Roy Orbison song, Life Fades Away. That's the one he wrote for him.
But I Am the One is my jam. Moving on to the 1992 Danzig 3 album.
Oh, God.
This, again, had a crazy, like, musical change as far
as the third
direction.
Album ever.
This was releasing more of, like, his total darker side. It's also known as Danzig 3, How the Gods Kill. Several songs will feature, like, a more textured, slower sound between fast then slow. You know, a lot of dominant guitar riffs. So, I don't know. What do you have to say about that album, Wallace?
It's great. And I've seen the whole thing live, minus Sistinas, unfortunately. I was to pick my favorite album, and me and Brad have had this discussion numerous times, How the Gods Kill, it's got to be number one for me.
Yeah, it's my
because
favorite
to me,
song.
Like, the first four Danzig albums are a must-have, must-own, but, like, How the Gods Kill, like, was a collection of everything he was as an artist at that time, and it sounded good. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that might have been the first one. I don't know if Rick Rubin produced that or not. It might have still been on his label, but I think Danzig actually...
Was that his first... It wasn't four that he did on his own?
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
Right. Nerds, Google yeah. that.
So, yeah, Danzig 3, How the Gods Kill, top to bottom, solid fucking album. Great album to make love to.
Listen, oh, that's right. Okay, check it out. This album debuted at number one on the Billboard Classical Music Chart.
Do you remember when rock and roll used to rule the fucking world?
Yeah.
I miss those days.
I do, too. Not everything's just in this pretty little package called country pop rock, and it sucks. And then even on the hip-hop side, it sucks because it's all this...
It's all that beat I just laid out for you.
That mumble rap garbage.
Yeah, mumble rap, or what do they call it? The trap rap, or what is it?
Yeah, trap rap.
Oh, God.
All right, Wallace, you know this more than I do. What is Glenn Danzig up to now? I mean, we didn't go through Danzig 4 and shit, but... You know more about the other albums. Like, what's he up to now as an artist?
Well, nowadays, I mean, he's been active. And the thing with Danzig is, and for those of you who are diehard Danzig fans, you know this, and it's kind of frustrating. He has so much shit that he does. I mean, obviously, he's involved in Verotic, his comic. He's been trying to get some of those done into a movie, some of those stories. He's tried to do anime. He's also done a couple chamber music albums, the Black Aria 1 and 2. And to kind of backtrack just a little bit, from 87, the Less Than Zero soundtrack, You and Me, that song is probably Danzig at his peak vocal fucking potential. So for those of you out there, check out the Less Than Zero soundtrack, Danzig's track You and Me on there, and he actually was the one that orchestrated that soundtrack and put together. It's got, I think, they're like Slayer and some other people on there, I can't remember, but that's the only important track. Danzig's been doing a lot, so I mean, leaving off from How the Gods Kill, you had Danzig 4, you had Black Acid Devil, which everybody, you know, kind of likes to leave alone. That was when he was experimenting in the
late 90s, early 2000s.
That was 96. That was when techno, he was trying to get on that vibe, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple tracks I can dig now, but I've always kind of disregarded that.
At least he tried something
album.
Different.
Yeah, yeah.
He got,
I mean,
outside,
you can't
of
hate
his
on
comfort
for that.
Zone. You know,
and then Satan's Child was album 6, and then 7, I, Luciferi.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a 2002. That was
a
very
good
album.
Yeah.
And then after that, Circle of Snakes in 2004. And then he took a pretty extended break in 2010, came out with Death Red Sabbath, which was a return to the earlier first couple of Danzig albums, and that had featured Tommy Victor writing a lot with him on guitar and stuff, and it had, like, Wicked Night is a good track for people to check out. It has a lot of that, like, Lucifuge vibe to it, and very cool return to form. And then after that, 2015, the anticipated covers album by Glenn Danzig, Skeletons, which he actually took the cover of that.
Remember this
the idea
one.
For the cover of that album was from a David Bowie album, actually. I can't remember what the name was. You guys can Google that, but... Take a look at that, and then look at Danzig Skeletons cover, and you'll see where that's at. But that got a lot of backlash because of the production.
I hated it.
It was...
What was the other one that just came out somewhat, like, last year or whatever?
Black Laden Crown. And
the production sucked.
It's really bad, but I'll tell you what, like, as
a fan... You're sticking up for him because you're a fan.
I am a fan, but, you know, I will admit when shit sucks, and the production did suck.
God, it was
bad. I think the music was there. Like, especially on Black Laden Crown, his latest, which came out last year, that album was really doomy. Really fucking cool, man. Like, and he was, I think, 62, 63 at the time. Well, he had recorded, I mean, that album had been recorded for an ungodly amount of years before it came out. So who knows when those vocals were actually done. But when it was released, this guy was like 62, 63 years old, and he was still like powerful as shit. So for people to kind of like, well, you know, talk shit, fuck off.
Hey, I talk shit about it a little
bit. Yeah, I know, but it's the production. It's not the songwriting. I think there's a lot of really cool stuff on that album that people need to check out.
I have a suggestion. instead of him producing all of his own stuff and his ego getting the best of him or whatever his situation is,
right,
why don't you hook up with Rick Rubin right. again and just play your position?
Well, I think
and be the singer and say, hey, here's the band, let them write the music. Glenn, you could help write the music too, but
yeah,
you know, just sit back and let Rick Rubin produce it or someone, yeah. somebody else.
The problem with Glenn is he has too many people around him that are like, oh, he's like, okay. And he's earned the right to do shit himself. He's a legend, dude. Yeah,
no one gives him constructive criticism.
No, nobody. They're like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great, Glenn. It's fucking great. Like, no, it sounds like fucking shit. It
sounds like shit, Glenn.
Why don't you go stack those bricks in your yard?
Yeah. buy your all your kitty litter. Yeah.
Get knocked the fuck out!
By that hardcore guy.
Yeah, that sucked. I'm sorry. It sucked. But I really think that if he did hook up with Rick again, that would be awesome. And I know there was some shit, like, he's talked about. Rick still has a lot of, like, material in the Def Jam American, what their label was, that people haven't heard a lot of still. And Glenn's trying to get control, like, much like Metallica has done, where they own the rights to their own music, and now they have their own label, and they're putting that shit out. I think one day you might see that. But Glenn's so busy, and for those of you that don't know, you may have heard a couple of years ago, he was on the Elvis radio station on XM satellite radio in Tennessee and released You Were Always On My Mind, an Elvis cover.
That's awesome.
He has an Elvis covers album called Danzig Does Elvis. It was supposed to be out last year, and now they're talking maybe it's this year. Who knows when it'll come out? That's the shitty thing about Glenn. He's got so much shit that just sits. And it makes you fucking wait for it. And then, like, the unfortunate thing was when Skeletons came out, everybody was waiting for so long. It's like, And then
lost interest.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say lost interest, but it was just they were so pissed at the production.
Oh.
Because it is bad, dude. I mean, we could probably make a better sounding album in our fucking garage, you know?
On some Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Sret the Savage probably could do that here at the Green Door.
Yeah.
Make a better album.
But Sret's not a Danzig fan, so...
No.
Fuck you, Sren.
Another thing, I love you. On his actual birthday, on Glenn's birthday, that is, what was that movie or whatever we were watching?
Oh, that? So that just came out. For those of you that aren't aware, there's this, it's an app, or it's basically the Netflix of horror. It's called Shudder, and you can get it, you can download on your phone, you go on your computers, your Xbox, all that shit. And what it is, they have a show called The Core on there, and it's hosted by this younger dude, and it's pretty cool because they'll bring on guests, and they go over, like, badass horror flicks. And I'm not just talking about, like, oh, we're going to talk about Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever. I mean, they dig deep. They'll go into, like, Fulci stuff, like Zombie and all kinds of really dark, awesome, brutal horror movies. And the latest episode happened to have a very good interview, sit-down interview with Glenn Danzig on it, and an interview that I think a lot of people haven't gotten to hear a lot of Danzig's side of, like, what he likes as far as horror, where he got, you know, because he went to college for cinematography and, like, photography and that shit. So he's directed pretty much all of his music videos. That's why, like, back in the day, he used to release those himself because, like, the labels wouldn't want to put him out, you know, or MTV wouldn't want to play him. So they would have to put – the label would have to put him out separately so you can get – you know, like that tape you got me. All the videos that were uncensored because, I mean, there's a lot of, like...
What did I get you? An old VHS tape?
Yeah, the old Danzig home video. A lot of, like, very satanic, cultish, you know, a lot of nudity, a lot of shit going on. The MTV obviously wasn't going to air. Mm-hmm. And Danzig, kudos to him, thinking outside the box and just being an artist and showing integrity. He's like, fuck it, then we'll put it out. We don't have to air it on TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's.
But he goes over that and, like, how his vision for directing and ideas he got from, like, certain directors like Hitchcock and stuff. And it also goes over briefly, like, Misfits and the whole punk rock ethos and Samhain and kind of what he's up to now. And he talks about his time. He was actually trained by one of Bruce Lee's original 5 core students in the Jeet Kune Do.
Then why'd he get his ass knocked out?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. God damn it.
Remember he just pushed him real quick? But
I think you need to be on your own hate mail. Can we do that here? Sign you up.
I'm just giving you shit.
Sign Joey Only up.
I'm just Joey Only Child Blues.
Yeah.
I'm just stirring the pot with you just to get a little rise.
Oh, yeah, you got a rise. Look at my shorts.
Ooh.
salute my shorts.
Salute my shorts.
But yeah, it's very cool. So for you huge Danzig Misfits fans out there, check it out. You can go on Shudder. You can get like a 4 or 5 day free trial, which is what I did as soon as I seen on Instagram and Facebook that this interview had came out, and it's pretty damn awesome. You guys got to check it out.
All right, now we are going to transition into our own personal live Glenn Danzig experiences.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to start with this because I've only had one, one time.
You've only seen Danzig once?
And it was the best. And I always told myself this too. I was like,
right.
I'll only go see Danzig if he comes back with
Glenn Calzone, if he comes back with
the Misfits. And
something, by the way, that I'm going to add, that nobody in their right fucking mind
thought that would ever happen.
Yeah.
Ever.
If you knew the legal battles that him and Jerry would go through, like everybody knows, but all the gaudy merch you see, like at Walmart, that's Jerry's. They have a deal struck where, I think they make 50-50. Like Danzig can design his own Misfits fucking merch and Jerry does his. And Danzig is more true to what the Misfits originally were because it was his fucking band. He wrote, it was his vision,
Yeah.
And where Jerry only, he's got like tie-dye, Crimson Ghost wearing a space helmet, fucking shirts at Walmart, and that's under the Cyclopean. For those of you out there and you got those shirts, look at those tags. If it says Cyclopean, that's Jerry only shit, and he's getting the money. You want to look for Evil Live for Glenn Danzig.
I like Jerry, man. Don't be hating.
I'm not hating, but the merch thing, that was what it was all about. Release. I mean, dude, they put out all kinds of shit, like Barbie dolls, Misfit Barbie dolls and
he's
shit.
He's making
like,
money, I mean,
I ain't gonna lie. I did get the Die My Darling shower curtain, which is pretty fucking awesome.
That is cool. But anyway, back to my live experience.
And I was there,
We were there. We were both there, but that was a really cool time. The crowd was crazy.
Right.
The sound was pretty awful.
60,000 motherfuckers.
60,000 people, but it was awesome. Doyle was punching his personally made humongous guitar.
Like he always did.
Jerry Only was on the bass being a badass. Danzig was talking shit about, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can't hear myself.
Yeah.
I hope you guys could hear it, but he was awesome. And then Lombardo on the drums, it was just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and then they had a guy, I forget his name, but kind of backing guitars. Because,
oh, was there?
Well, yeah, Doyle. And my band Handsome Prick has played with Doyle. And he's good. And we saw him do Misfit songs with his band Doyle, and it was great. But, he beats the shit out of his guitar. So they had to have a dude standing in the back who's actually playing the guitar.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they still do it now. Because they got, and for those of you that don't know, that was the second time the Misfits had ever played together in like 30 years. And we saw that in Chicago. Because the first one was Riot Fest in Denver, which I'm pissed we weren't at the first one. And I'm also pissed that we were supposed to be at the last one. But unbeknownst to everybody out there, I think they have a deal with whoever booked all these shows. And now they're playing. They'll play once or twice a year and sell out. I think they just played in Jersey, had a homecoming.
They
did. There.
Yeah, they just had one there. They really need to come together and do like a smaller American tour.
Yeah.
And just play huge venues. You know how much money they would make?
Oh, well, yeah. That's
like, Jerry, get over your ego, Glenn.
Yeah.
Doyle's just going to be a part of the squad. But
right.
Those two, especially Glenn. It's just Glenn's ego, let's be real.
Well, I think they're both Glenn, over, get over the ego. Yourself. And the reason it happened was because Glenn seen guys like Bowie and Lemmy die. And he was like, you know what? I ain't getting any younger. People want this. We might as well go out and give it to them.
Right.
Which was very cool because a lot of artists, you might not ever get that with guys who break up. I mean, Look at Pantera for one.
Like I want the Smiths to do it.
Yeah.
Like I'd love to see Johnny Marr and Morrissey together.
Right.
It would just be amazing. I mean, and the whole band with Rourke and I can't remember the drummer's name right now. But at any rate, I'd love to see that. But you have egos and you have all these old legalities of people suing each other.
Right.
And, it's
petty
just,
shit.
It's
man,
just
really.
Real petty. But back to my experience there, it was just a great time, and it's one of those I'll be proud to tell my kids if I ever have any or whoever I see, like, I got to see Glenn with the
Misfits, original Misfits.
The original Misfits.
Yeah.
And another thing, backtrack to Doyle in his guitar playing, it isn't the best, but I I love how he makes all of his own guitars. Mm-hmm. And I like how he makes all of his old...
Him and Jerry, they own like a machine shop or something.
Yeah, his own cabinets.
Yeah.
Because he plays out of 8x10 bass rigs.
Right. It's loud.
And it's the loudest shit ever. His guitar tone and his rig, it makes my teeth chatter because he's got that good bass tone behind it because he's playing through bass rigs. And, I mean, it's just stacks and it's got that, like... what you would call it, the Doyle skull, you know, with the Widow's Peak, like painted on every cabinet. So that's my experience. Now, Wallace, let's go into your live Danzig experiences.
Well, unfortunately for both of us, like being like pretty big Danzig Misfits fans, we really didn't collectively, like I think it's like four times have seen them. And once again, shout out to Brad Vanderzee, who's seen and met the man like several times. And he's actually completed the trifecta where he has now seen Misfits, Samhain, and Danzig.
Samhain?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Samhain, Riot Fest a few years back. That would have been fucking great to see. But yeah, I was at the Misfits show at Riot Fest. I was actually, here's a funny story about that. I was up front. And for everybody that knows Danzig's situation, he hates fucking photography at shows. He don't want you fucking filming shit. He doesn't want you taking pictures. I was up front and had some great fucking footage. And then I took a little bit of footage. I put my phone away. I'm like, fuck it. I'm not one of those guys going to sit and record the whole thing. But do I want a little memory? Yeah.
Oh, this is a good story, yeah.
And so I'm up there, right? And at the time, my girlfriend was up there with me. As soon as they fucking came out and went on, dude, I lost her. She just disappeared. You imagine 60,000 people. She got swallowed up, and I'm like, fuck, like, I got to find her. So I'm like, I'm getting my ass kicked, like, in this pit, because even when they stopped playing in between songs, people were still going strong like there's music playing. And 60,000 people crushing you against you, dude, you get your fucking ass kicked. And, I mean, I'm no bitch by any means, but...
He ain't no bitch.
No. I ain't the one! It was bitch, fucking, people. Dude, it was intense. I ended up staying up front there for like the first 11 or 12 songs
because
I'm
ass
like, hey,
beat, though.
I got to find my woman, though, you know, like.
Where she be?
Yeah.
Where my girl be?
And finally, I was like, fuck it, you know, like she's going to get pissed, but I'm getting the fuck out of here. It took me almost a half hour to get through the crowd. And as I'm walking out, people are, and I'm not leaving the show. I had to get out of the front, dude. People are like talking shit to me. Remember this one big fat dude, he's like, oh, have a nice fucking time on the way home while the fucking Misfits were playing. I was like, fuck you, fat ass, why don't you walk up front there? And I like, grabbed his titty and just walked away.
I'm in my 30s, homie.
Yeah, his big sweaty titty. And I, long story short, I walk
man
out
boobs.
And I see my girlfriend sitting there and we're both just like exhausted, dude. I'm all, my shirt's all stretched out. I was so sweaty like I was in a goddamn fucking swimming pool. I was beat the fuck up. I was so glad to sit down there. I'm like, fuck it. I had to go use the bathroom. So I go in there, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to check out that footage I got. I'm like, fuck yeah. I go to look at it. It's gone. I saved that shit, too.
The Glenn
I think,
Danzig police got a hold of your footage and put it away.
I think the Nightmare Police fucking stole my footage. So that sucked because I would have had some really good shit to show you guys. But anyways.
Oh, Glenn and your ego.
Yeah. It's gone. But it was still, you know, and we watched the rest of the show kind of from the back, and it was great, and I loved it. But before that, my first time seeing Danzig was when Skeletons was about to come out, or it already did come out. So we're talking 3-4 years ago now. I went up there with Brad in Milwaukee at the Rave, and they actually played with, I think it was Down.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was Down. So Phil Anselmo was there.
That's cool.
Danzig sounded great, dude. He was. They did. He did the Elvis cover.
He's hit or miss live now, right?
Yeah,
he has his off and on nights.
Well, you know what? But every time I've seen him, he's been solid.
Okay,
I think he's been solid, and for as old as he is, and he does still move around a lot up there. Like I remember Riot Fest. He's like, man, it's fucking hot.
Yeah, it was hot. You know? The sound there always sucks. That
right
sound
outside
awful.
Venues, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you get what you get, but. At the Raven Milwaukee, dude, he was dead on. And all those, it's funny because everybody knocks the Skeletons album, but it sound live, it was like, holy shit. Like, I'm ready for this album to come out because this shit is fucking killer. So he nailed it there. That was great. I got drunk on a bunch of zombie dust and threw up.
zombie dust on a hot day. Bad
right?
combination.
And then there was the Misfits for me. And then after that was last year's Riot Fest.
Oh, yeah. You went to that, too.
Yeah, where he played just Danzig. And they played the whole How the Gods Kill album.
Cool.
Like, so Danzig 3. And it, dude, They came out, and that was during the day. Like, it was fucking bright as shit out, and that's when he said, man, it's fucking hot up here, goddamn.
How was the sound for that compared
that
to the
Misfits?
That
was great. And the funny story about that is I had footage of that. I took the first song. Obviously, they open up with Godless, and then they ended with Mother because they played a couple extra after the album. And for those of you out there that don't know, they didn't play Sistina's because he said Riot Fest wouldn't spring for an orchestra, and he felt that to do that live, that was the only way he could present that song live. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they wouldn't fucking pay for it, so fuck them. So
when
they didn't
Glenn
do that.
It's real.
Yeah, and so long story short, it was a great show. I got home, and I put those two songs I recorded on my YouTube page. And, you know, I wasn't owning anything, saying it was mine. I was just like, hey, this was a killer show by Danzig. Check it out. And then literally I'm at work like a week later, and I show my boss, I'm like, hey, dude, Danzig fucking played. I was just there a week ago. You got to check it out. This shit sounds great. And I go on my YouTube, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's gone. I have a message on my page saying you have a copyright strike on you, and if you get one more, your YouTube is done. We're taking all your videos. And it says, you've seen the picture. I sent it to you because I screenshotted it.
If you have it, we got to put it like for social media. For
yeah,
this
we're
episode.
Totally going to put that. It says video is unavailable due to copyright claim by Glenn Danzig. So, Glenn, you're out there. If you ever hear this, I love you, man. But come on, bro. That was fucked up.
Yeah, get over yourself.
Yeah.
It's just a live video.
At some point in time, people are going to see that bald spot. You know, you're old. Get over it. I'm bald.
I have a bald spot. Well, it is a bald spot.
But we're still handsome.
Yeah.
You still got the pipes. Hit the pipe! Yeah. But those are my Danzig stories. So, hopefully there's some more in the future.
I love it. That was a good riot. That was the best Riot Fest. There's a ton of bands. And what was really cool about that night was the Deftones. I got to mention the Deftones because I do every damn podcast episode, but they played before Glenn. And remember, Chino gave a shout out to
Morrissey
and Glenn. And remember, he was like, I think Glenn might get pissed about this. But, you know,
Chino, what the fuck are you doing?
But Morrissey and Glenn Danzig had the most impact on me as a vocalist and a musician than any other two.
At Chino, too, I think singers. He said he learned how to sing because he didn't want to be a singer, like because he was listening to Danzig.
Yeah, Danzig and Duran Duran and The Cure and The Smiths. But the first songs the Deftones played when they were like playing in the garage covers were Danzig songs.
Fuck yeah.
So that's awesome. So
he knew what's up.
He knows. Chino knows. All right, now we're going to transition into the part of this podcast we've been doing for the last few episodes, and it's called Hate Mail.
Hate.
So
I like.
Don't like what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about. I'm really curious to hear this fucking hate mail.
There's a new hate mail. And Wallace, it has to do with you a little bit.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, these comments do.
Hey, you people don't know that I'll come for you.
We'll come for you. We'll find out where you live.
Ooh, bring you back.
We'll kidnap your cat.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
And we'll take your goldfish and throw it down the toilet. So here we go. Musically Meditative Podcast. Mm. Joe, I saw your most recent photos on the past crossover with Juice Pro Wrestling. One question. If Joe hates mumble rap, why is he sporting a Gucci t-shirt? He just looks like the poor man's version of Conor McGregor. Ireland sucks.
Jesus. Hashtag know your enemy.
That is rough.
That's rough.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate, man.
Man, coming at me about the Gucci shirt.
I know, right? What's up with that? That's, for those of you who don't know, that's vintage. And wasn't that your Uncle Don's?
Yeah, it's like vintage old Gucci t-shirt from the 80s.
Before you motherfuckers knew what Gucci was.
Yeah, it's Gucci.
Get that Gucci, motherfucker.
Gucci get that Gucci.
God damn. You know, who was that said that?
I can't
fucking find them. Because
here's what I do. Like, whoever sends this, they'll send your hate mail or love mail. We get love mail, too, but send it to musicallymeditated@gmail.com. Or just post it in the comments on Facebook or Instagram, whatever. But this particular one came through the email.
All right.
So
if you have hate in your heart, let it out.
He, referring to myself, just looks like the poor man's version of Conor McGregor.
I'm trying to see that. Irish undertone.
Ireland sucks. What a bunch of assholes. All right, here's another one.
Kiss my arse.
This was a comment, I believe it was made on my Instagram. Joe, first a Gucci wallet, Now a Gucci t-shirt? Give me a break, you hipster scum.
Oh, man. Jesus. Fucking. I thought we were on my podcast for a second with all these fucking low blows, dude.
What? This is good. Here's the thing, people. I have three old school Gucci shirts. I got a red one, a black one, and a white one, and I'm going to keep wearing them and keep sending that hate.
And they're all going to be jelly about it.
They are.
That's what it is.
You want your vintage Gucci.
Yeah, they want to be.
And I do have a Gucci
door.
Wallet. Here it is. It's right here.
It's very nice.
It's very nice. We keep a Gucci.
It's very thick, too.
The Gucci gets the the Gucci gets the coochie, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Here's the last one. Hmm. This is a dig at Sret, and Sret ain't here tonight with us. He's in...
We'll defend you, Sret.
We'll defend you, but he's in Buffalo, New York.
Because he does things with the Green Door Network.
Yeah, a few things. Hmm. All right, so here we go. Tell Sret to stop talking about Dave Matthews Band.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
So you're going to go see Dave this summer? Wow. You suck, Sretton.
Oh, Jesus.
That's it.
I think I'm going to have to hop on that hate mail bandwagon. He's all here and I'm tripping Miller.
Because like, I bust his balls about Dave Matthews all the time, but this person just like went hard in the paint.
Yeah, they're going hard in the paint. You know, so much hate, you know. But I bet you they still subscribe because it's entertaining as fuck.
They're subscribing.
Yeah.
But man, people on my Gucci t-shirt, it threw them for a loop.
Yeah, uncalled for. Very uncalled for.
Whatever. It don't bother me.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So, Wallace, it's been an honor to have you on again.
Yeah, for
Once
sure.
again, where can people find you at?
You can find me at Juice Pro Wrestling on any podcast platform, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, thegreendoornetwork.com, YouTube. My email is jpdubpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send the Juice some hate mail, you know, beware of the consequences, but, you know, go ahead and send it anyway. Hate, love mail, we'll take it all.
We'll take it all.
I'm also on Instagram under Juice Pro Wrestling, on Twitter at jpdubpodcast, and on Facebook. I also have the Facebook group Juice Pro Wrestling Universe, or JP Woo.
Woo!
Woo. Nice. Check it out.
Nice. All right, so this is how we've been ending the podcast for Musically Meditated. And it's a section, we always keep it positive around here. We try to.
That's right.
So here we go. I'm closing it out on this. And it's called Meditate on This, all right? So as a person, you have to keep evolving and recreating yourself. You got to learn new things and expand your mind. And this will add versatility to your life. So create new habits. And every day, upgrade yourself and always, you know, complete whatever projects you're going to do and just keep a positive spin on everything in life.
That's what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
You don't grow and you don't get better and stronger mentally without a good positive outlook.
Yeah.
That's
so just
for all you that have been through some shit.
Yeah. So just learn new things.
Yeah,
expand your mind. You know, this will add to a lot of versatility in your life, man. And you know, starting new habits, writing things down.
Yeah.
You know, like what we're doing here at the Green Door. Everybody's,
take chances. Do something you wanted to do.
You know, and a lot of this, too, just get outside your comfort zone.
Right.
So on that note, we're going to end out. Check out Musically Meditated on all podcast platforms. Check out Juice Pro Wrestling on all podcast platforms. And Danzig, happy birthday. It's a full moon, baby. We're going out. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated.
Or my ass over there.